What a wonderful morning, isn't it? Great music, beautiful weather, children receiving their Bibles, a ministry report. Sometimes I almost want to pinch myself. This is wonderful. It's a wonderful congregation. I was talking to the staff this week, and I reminded them of one of the things that's coming up are the annual performance reviews. That went over real well. But we get them really early on in our lives, don't we? I mean, they start in preschool with our parent-teacher conferences. And we meet with the teachers to find out how well our children are progressing socially. Do they play well with others? How are they doing physically? Are they meeting the standards that they need to meet for motor skills? How are they doing intellectually? Are our children learning? Are they retaining information? And then we kind of move on from there to report cards that track some of the same issues with evaluation tools like quizzes and tests, and then exams and projects and term papers. And then we move on in life and we get performance reviews that tell us how we're doing with the goals that we've set or the goals that others have set for us. Over the years, I've grown to appreciate performance reviews because I want to do well at what I do. And now, just a disclaimer, I realize I get a performance review every Sunday. It happens at lunchtime. How was the sermon? What do you think he said? Is that good? I didn't like what he said about this. Sometimes if it's really an issue, if I've really touched a chord, it'll happen in the car on the way to lunch. Just so that you know, I prefer the annual performance review. I find it interesting in our culture that we like to measure things. There's a growing trend to track our physical performance and our physical health with a Fitbit. I did a little research and found out that there's over 14 different models of the Fitbit, and that doesn't include the knockoffs. And they track all kinds of things like the steps we take each day, our sleep cycles, our heart rate. Some track altitude, others track the number of calories we take in, the water that we drink. I mean, where does it stop? What would it be like if we had a Fitbit that measured our spiritual and our physical fitness? What would it measure? Would we measure up? Would we meet expectations, exceed expectations, or fall short of expectations? Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, writes about the followers of Jesus Christ in Macedonia. And he says, they are exceeding expectations. They're exceeding expectations in their physical fitness and their spiritual fitness. Because physical fitness and spiritual fitness are very closely linked. In the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look at issues of stewardship in a series entitled Overflow. Paul writes about this. He uses the word overflow several times as he writes to the Corinthians. And so this morning, I'd invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Listen to God's word. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we long to hear your word afresh. And I pray that any word that comes out of my mouth that does not come from you, that it would be quickly forgotten. That we would dwell on your word, wrestle with it, and seek to walk in obedience with you. For we ask these things in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the expectations that we have in our lives differ depending on the situations in which we find ourselves. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians, his expectations were high. He was concerned about the followers of Jesus who lived in the city of Jerusalem. And he was taking up a collection because of the poverty of those who were living in Jerusalem. Now, if you remember in the book of Acts, originally, the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem sold their belongings and pooled those resources together to care for the needs of the people who were there. And yet, over time, there were food shortages. There was double taxation. They supported itinerant preachers and missionaries. They showed hospitality to other followers of Jesus who happened to visit Jerusalem. And there was a growing population of widows and the elderly. And the capital that they had in that purse began to shrink. And so Paul was taking up a collection. There was genuine need. And this collection would be a visible expression of the interdependence of believers one with another. We do the same today. We support other ministries in our community and our world as an expression of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the ministries that we support is City of Hope. We heard their report this morning. We've partnered with City of Hope for a number of years. We've given dollars, but not only dollars, we've sent people from this congregation and from this community to Tanzania to see the work that God has done and to encourage those who are there to continue. We've given gifts not simply to be nice. We've gone over there to visit not simply to be nice, but as a tangible expression of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is simply a part of what it means for us to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, the situation that was encountered in Macedonia was very interesting. It was a very lucrative area. The soil was lush for farming. There were precious metal mines. There was a timber industry. And you would think that things are going well. And they were in Macedonia, except for those who were followers of Jesus Christ. They faced difficult times. They were harassed because of their faith. Their businesses were boycotted, and they were left in extreme poverty. Those words, extreme poverty, could also be translated as rock bottom. That's where they were. And yet, in the midst of that, these followers of Jesus in Macedonia were urgently pleading to be able to give financially. They begged not to receive, but to give. When was the last time you begged to give? When was the last time somebody came up and said, I want to give, please, let me give. I don't have anything, but I want to give. Why would the Macedonians do that? They were gripped by the grace of God. You know, often we give out of obligation. Often we give out of guilt. We pass the offering plate every Sunday, and for some people, that's a sign of guilt. I wonder what I should put in. Did I give enough? Did I not give enough? Did somebody see me just pass the plate by? We wonder what's the acceptable amount. When it comes to giving, what would our fiscal and spiritual Fitbit record? Are we meeting expectations? exceeding expectations, or falling short of expectations. In the midst of wondering, give God's grace a chance to grasp your heart. In this passage, we see that expectations are exceeded. What the Macedonians do is interesting. In extreme poverty, they gave with rich generosity. They were not pressured, they were not guilted, they were not forced, they gave freely. Do the math with me, would you? They had nothing or next to nothing. They were at rock bottom. They didn't give according to their means. They gave beyond their means. We'd like to think that maybe they were being reckless, but they're not being reckless. There's no indication of that in the text. They gave with an overflowing wealth of generosity. And if you're like me, you want to sit there and say, okay, why? Why did they do this? They didn't simply attend a fundraiser dinner or a cocktail party where they were expected to put a check in an envelope. It was much more than this. The Macedonians did two things. First was they gave themselves to God. They were committed to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They knew and had experienced what God had done for them in and through Jesus Christ. And their knowledge wasn't mere intellectual assent. They not only knew of God's grace, they experienced God's grace in their lives. That grace made a difference in the way they lived their lives every day. They lived with Jesus Christ at the center, and there was no area of their lives that was untouched by God's grace and by this reality. In addition to giving themselves to God, they didn't just talk about stewardship, they lived it. As they lived it, they experienced the joy of impossible miracles, like being able to give not according to their means, but beyond their means. They knew that all that they were and all that they had were gifts from God, and they dedicated themselves to God and God's people and God's purposes. The result was an overflow of generosity. Well, how could that be? If they had nothing, if they were at rock bottom. You see, it's all about grace. It's about God's grace at work in the hearts and minds and lives of the Macedonians. And God empowered them to do what they did. It was by God's grace that they pleaded to share in the ministry or service with God's people. It is by God's grace, not their own, that the gifts were given and the expectations were exceeded. It is only by God's grace at work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that empowers us to do what we do. It would only be by God's grace that people in this congregation would plead to share in the service of ministry to God's people and to God's world. It would only be by God's grace that we as a congregation could exceed any expectations of our finance team, or of our elders, or of our staff. And you know something? Frankly, wouldn't that be kind of fun? I can imagine our finance team looking and saying, oh my, we have more than we expected. Now what do we do? Wouldn't that be fun? I'd love to see that happen. How can it happen? By giving God's grace a chance to grasp our hearts. You see, the challenge here that Paul lays out is to excel. The Corinthians excelled in a number of different ways, in faith, in speech, in knowledge. They excelled in complete earnestness and in love. Why would they not excel in the grace of giving? Why not? In some ways, we here at Noroten Presbyterian Church are much like the Corinthians. We're in a community that excels. Our young people in our community excel in sports, in the arts, in academics. We have members here who excel in business and industry, in the arts, in the professions, in the trades, and various other initiatives. We excel in music. We excel in teaching. We excel in caring. We excel in our love for missions. We're a church that excels. We're a church that wants to excel. That's what my experience has been here. What would it look like for us to excel in this grace of giving? As we begin to work on our budget for 2017, what are our expectations for ourselves? What are our expectations for one another? What are our expectations and our dreams for our congregation? Please be clear about this. It's not about me. And it's not about my expectations. It's about responding to God because of the grace that we've received in and through Jesus Christ. Our call is to give ourselves to God and then to give ourselves to God's work and God's purposes in our world. And we can do that by giving God's grace a chance to grasp our hearts. Generosity does not come naturally. It is an act of grace. It comes from God. So will you do me a favor? Will you just dream with me for a minute? If we as a congregation had a Fitbit for our spiritual and our fiscal health, what would be the expectations? What would it be like to exceed those expectations? What would it be like for us to excel in the grace of giving? What would it be like for us to overflow with generosity? Give God's grace a chance to grasp your heart. May it be so. Amen.